Morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 5. Always leading up to our Friend Day Fall Bible Conference, I love looking at the miracles. We don't do it every year, but we love looking at the miracles, the difference that God can make in people's lives and different miracles that Jesus did. And this is probably just one of those great questions of the Bible. Jesus walks up to a man, similar to what we heard last week with Bartimaeus, and he says, "What will thou have me do for thee?" When he's talking to Bartimaeus, but this one's a little bit different. When he asks the gentleman, he says, "Will thou be made whole?" And it's interesting. Why would you ask someone like that? And I think Jesus has some reasons. We're going to look at that tonight or this morning. But at the same time, let us consider the difference that God can make in a person's life. That's the goal here, is to make a difference and allow God to make us a difference. And the reality is all of us have problems. All of us have a need. All of us have things that we could work with and struggle with. And let's just jump into the passage of Scripture in John chapter number 5. And we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole whatever disease he had." So according to what the story is telling here, that there is a time when an angel came down and would stir up the water. And as it was stirring up the water, if a person got into the pool first, then they would be healed. And a certain man, so it takes, the picture starts off with a large group of people there. It says in verse number 3, "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." And then it's focused down into one. "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years." Now, if you were here last week, we talked about blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road and how someone had told him that Jesus was coming, and that Bartimaeus said what? He started crying out to God. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I also find it interesting here that there's a great multitude in verse number 3 of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I see that. Now, what is the difference between Bartimaeus crying out to God, crying out to Jesus to say, "Have mercy on me," and this gentleman is just laying there by the side of the pool? So one of the differences is the fact that one is impotent in the fact they couldn't move, and the other one is that Bartimaeus was blind. But that's not what the difference is. Jesus could have healed either one. The difference was no one told him who Jesus was. You can imagine, verse number 3, there's a multitude of people there. There's a lot of people there that are hurting, a lot of people there that are sick. And I guess some people would question and say, well, did Jesus heal all of them? We don't know the story. Me personally, the Jesus I know, I can't see imagining walking past people that are sick and not helping them. But who am I to question what happened if it's not recorded in the Scripture? And if this man who was impotent and couldn't get up and couldn't move and they saw that he was healed, I would imagine that people would flock and people would start asking Jesus, "Can you heal me also?" But the important thing is brought down to one person, one situation, one man, and Jesus comes to him in verse number 6 and he says, "When he saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole?" So what's the big deal? He's asking if he wants help. I truly believe that any of us that are struggling, that God's willing to help us. It's there. It's found in the Word. He loves us. He tells us to cast our cares upon him. He tells us that he's able to help us and do all things. So this morning, my question for you is, will thou be made whole? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are struggling today, and they're struggling maybe with their faith, or they're struggling with a sin, or struggling with an attitude, or struggling with a situation. And the thought here that the Lord laid upon my heart is, why aren't we right with him today? Are you not willing to be made whole? Because there is a God that can help you. There is a God that can make a difference. There's a God that can do all things. Yes, he may not take away every single situation. He may not take away every single sin. But it doesn't mean that we have to struggle with those things. And we see the response of the man. The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He uses this as a reason, and I believe, and I can imagine this man, 38 years sitting there, and he's been sick for 38 years. We don't know how many years he's been at the pool, but he's been there, and his eyes have been focused on the water, just waiting and waiting. And then he says, the reason why I am not whole is because of the fact I have no one to help me. Well, in that itself is very sad. And no one did tell him that Jesus was there. And maybe Jesus was all alone. We wouldn't think that he would not have been there by himself, but maybe he was. The pastor, what he's getting at is that there was help for this man, but he didn't realize it. No one told him about it. And his focus was on someone else instead of the one that was there and able to help him. Of course, he doesn't know who Jesus is. No one's told him. He asked this question, "Will thou be made whole?" His answer was, "I don't have a man. I don't have someone else that can help me." Look, let's keep on going. It says here, and Jesus saith unto him, verse number 8, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man who was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." So once again, these Jews, these religious leaders, giving people a hard time. He says, "Look, that's not lawful." And he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." He said, this person that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. He still didn't even know who Jesus was. He conveyed himself away. Verse 14, "And afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to a moment in time and an hour that in many of our lives, there's something we're struggling with. There's a problem that we can't fix on our own. We realize there's a problem, and many times we're just waiting for something before we get right. And Jesus, this morning, is, I believe, through his word, asking us, "Will thou be made whole?" Is there not something today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about us getting the help that we need? Not being distracted by individuals, not being distracted by circumstances, not waiting for some great, mighty emotion or moving, but instead, Lord, seeing you as the one that can help us, that we would rely on you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, they will answer that question, "Yes, I want to be made whole. Yes, I want to know what it means to be a believer. Yes, I want to be able to make sure that I'm right before God." And to those that are believers today in the room, some of us have been saved for many years. And some of us have had vices or weights or things that have slowed us down in our Christian life for a very long time. It's not the fact that we cannot get help for these. It's not the fact that you're not available and willing to help. Many times we just don't want to be made whole because we're afraid or we enjoy the things that are holding us back. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. I pray that you work in all of our lives asking this question, "Will thou be made whole?" Will we be willing to lay down that item, that thing, that vice, that sin, that weight that we're struggling with today, and allow you to do a work that only God can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I look at this passage of Scripture, and I think about it, and I think about those things that are holding us back as believers individually, but also those things that are holding us back as a church collectively. And I think about how sin, when it gets in the midst, and how when there's vices in our life and there's things in our lives we just don't want to deal with, and how many of us have those? I know many of us do. I know there are things in my life that I just choose to ignore, or choose not to want to deal with, or choose not to believe what the Bible says about something, and the Lord has to convict my heart, and the Lord has to work in my heart. And it comes to the moment in time, will thou be made whole? You go down to verse number 17, Jesus answered him, says, my Father worketh hitherto, I work. And he's working, and Jesus understood a principle that we're not familiar with, or at least we don't have the same understanding. Jesus, being God, knew exactly how long he was going to be on this earth. He knew how many periods and how many days and how many minutes, how many months, how many years. He understood that in that public ministry of over 3 years, that he had a certain amount of time to work, and he had to get things accomplished. I don't think many of us look at it that way. I don't think many of us see our lives from the end and work our way back, saying at the end, I want to be known as someone who loved the Lord. I want to be known as someone who helped see people to Christ. And I want to be known as someone who discipled people. And we start back here. I think it was Spurgeon that talked about start at the end of your life and then live your life according to the way that you want to finish, or the way that God would want you to finish. So what does that mean? I heard somebody speculate this past week, and it just kind of spoke to my heart about in the time that we're living in. We are living, many people would believe, in the last days. Christ could return at any moment, return at any time. I think many of us would agree with that. Now, some might say, no, it's going to be a while down the road. Either way, we're definitely closer than when we were before. And if you looked at history and how history is being written, if after Christ returns, there is this time of this church age, and even bring it forward to where this is the time of the 2022, and if this was the year that Christ returned, and I'm not saying that this is, because no man knoweth the day or the hour, but I'm saying in this period of time that we're living, if this is the time when Christ is going to return, it's one of the most exciting times of the world. Most exciting times of history. Now, some people say, hey, I think it would have been cool to live during Bible times, or I think it would have been great to walk with Jesus, or some might say, I want to be in the 1200s, the 1300s, or the 1400s, or the 1800s, 1900s. There were some interesting parts of history. There was interesting years that was going on in history. But we're living now in the day and time where Christ could return at any moment, and we don't have that much more time. What more exciting time in history do we have than right now? I mean, what greater opportunity between the written word of God and the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, and the opportunity to pray, and the promises that he's given us, and all the technology that we have available, and all the modern day communication. We live in a day and time that should be one of the most exciting times for believers and Christians. And when history is going to be written at the end, they're going to look at maybe these 20 or 30 or 40 years before Christ returned and said, man, the church should have set the world on fire. But why is it that the church struggles? Why is it that Christians struggle? And I know you can show me the verses that talks about that there is going to be a falling away and things are going to wax worse and worse. But if you read the verses after that, I believe it talks about staying faithful. Remaining faithful to doctrine, continue on serving, continue on working, continue on going. So if we're living in these great days and times, why is it that many times we don't want to witness? Why is it that we don't want to always follow what the Word of God says? And sometimes, if not most, is because there's something in our life that is holding us back that we just don't want to deal with. It may be fear. It may be a sin in our mind. It may be not willing to forgive. It may be, and I don't have to tell you, because the Holy Spirit can speak to your hearts what that is. one of the most exciting times in all of history before our Lord and Savior returns for his church, and then the great tribulation, and then he sets up his millennial kingdom. We're here and we lose our focus on the time in history over sometimes things that don't even matter. We come to this, and Jesus comes to this man and he looks at this impotent man and says, "Will thou be made whole?" I think he comes to us as a group sometimes and many times individually and asks us that question, "Don't you want to be right with me? I have made everything available to you. For those that are lost today and on their way to hell, Jesus has given you the opportunity. Jesus has paid the debt like the choir sang for us. There is a way you can know him and know him personally, enter into the family of God and be able to go to heaven when you die. Praise the Lord. Will thou be made whole?" The invitation is there. It's available for you today. Also, to the believer that's struggling, doesn't think that they can ever come to sin, doesn't know why they can't take that next step, there's an invitation today. Are you going to let God help you with it? Three things I want you to think about. Three things I want you to consider. The first thing is, we all have problems. He said, "What do you mean we all have problems?" So all of us have a sin problem. That's there. It's there. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." We all have sin problems that must be dealt with. If you go to verse number 3, it talks about, and these, you can imagine this picture put into your mind. There's this pool of Bethesda, and they're laying around this. It seems like a very sad picture. There is a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, wither, waiting for the moving of the water. Can you imagine what that would have been like to see this large group that's there, and they're sitting there, and they're just waiting for the moving of the water so that way one of them would have a chance to be healed? And I think about that, and I think about all the different physical problems people have. There's a lot of challenges out there. There's a lot of people dealing with physical problems. And I see these I see this verse number 3, and my heart goes out for them because I don't have these physical problems, and I don't want to minimize those physical problems. And I'm not even saying that Jesus is there when he says, "Will thou be made whole?" He's talking about physically being made whole, but also to help him spiritually too. That's what true wholeness is spiritual things are more important than the physical, because the physical lasts for a temporary period of time where the spiritual lasts for all eternity. So what? When Jesus asks this question, I believe he wants to teach this man something, and I want you to think about what this man's problem was. Not only was he having a problem because he had an infirmity of 38 years, like it talks about in verse number 5, verse number 7 calls him the impotent man answering. He said there's a couple issues that he had, and I think it's sometimes, I really believe it can make it applicable to our own lives. It's the reason why we don't want to be made whole, is because we want to focus on others. You say, "Pastor, where do you see this?" Well, I see the response of the impotent man. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." Now, he doesn't realize who Jesus is. He doesn't realize that Jesus was the maker of the world, the maker of the universe, that by just saying a few words, or even just thinking it, that he could have healed that man. And that man would have been able to jump up and do whatever he wanted to. He didn't know who he was, but we do. There's a difference between, he's done a work in our hearts and lives. If we're a believer today, we already know who he is. But this man, he was saying, and his focus was on the pool. This focus was on the fact that he had no one else. His focus was, "I can't be made whole because I don't have what that person has, or I don't have the need, or I don't have the help that I need." And he had all the help he needed standing right in front of him. I want to try to make application with that today as believers. If there's a problem in our life, we have a Jesus that's standing right in front of us and can help us in any situation with any problem, no matter how hard, no matter how long it's been. He is able to do all things. He's able to do, the Bible talks about, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have problems, and many times our problem is because we have the wrong focus. The focus is on the people. And how many times have we said, "I can't get right because that person's wrong"? How many times says, I can't be the right husband or the right wife or the right child because it's my husband's fault or my wife's fault or my parents' fault or it's my children's fault. We have the wrong focus. Jesus is coming to us individually. Yes, there is a large group around the pool, but there is one focus here. And what I believe he desires to focus in on your life today and say, will thou be made whole? Will you take care of what's going on in your life? Don't worry about the other person sitting on the other side of the pool, other side of the room, or the person sitting right next to you, or the person that's at the church, at another church, or the person that's still sitting home today. Will thou be made whole? Will you focus on what you need today and see what God can do? And when we focus on others, the Bible says that's not wise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number of compare, make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. When we focus on others, we lose sight of the one that's there that can help us with our own need. Not only do they focus on others, they were focusing on the next big thing. What do you mean? He's waiting for this angel. And once again, you're saying, Pastor, why are you giving this guy a hard time? He's impotent. He had no other choice. And it says in verse number 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. Some people's like, well, is that a true story? Or is that a myth or a legend? Different commentators think differently about it. Some commentators believe that the people that really didn't have a physical problem but was more a psychological problem would jump in the pool first and then pretend like they were healed. It's like sometimes what we see with faith healers today that are not of God that you see today, and they get these healings. So sometimes it's psychological issues, but that's a whole other passage, message. It doesn't really matter. The story is told that this man believes this, and he truly believes this, and he's waiting for the next big moving before he can ever get right. Say, Pastor, how do we apply that to us today? We have a church that sometimes waits. When my church gets right, when we have revival, that's when I'm going to get right. When we see the next moving and the mighty moving, the next great emotional charge that happens in my life, then I will fix it. Then I'll get right. And Jesus is just saying, will thou be made whole? The next big thing is standing right in front of you. He's walking right past you today. You have the opportunity. You can get right today. You don't need a revival service. You just need Jesus. Will thou be made whole? And I agree that sometimes we can get our heart right because during revival we set aside a week and we'll seek the Lord and we'll pray and we'll read our Bible more and we'll hear preaching day after day after day, sometimes for a whole week, sometimes for 8 days, sometimes for 4 days, and we think, man, God's working in my heart, God's touching me, God's speaking to me. He's always willing and able to do those things. It's just whether or not we want to let him. And go to verse number 3 once again. And I don't want you to think I'm trying to take this out of context. When I see this verse, and there these lay a great multitude of impotent and blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, I wonder sometimes if not some church families are like that. Sitting and struggling, spiritually limited in their power because they're wrong with the Lord. And they're waiting for somebody else to get right. They're waiting for God to move and touch. And when God moves and touches, then I'm going to jump on board. And he's coming to you today saying, will thou be made whole? Will you not deal with the issue that you have in your life today? And let me help you today. Don't worry if so-and-so is getting right. Don't worry about if the rest of the church gets it. I'm speaking to you. It's about a personal relationship. First thing I want you to think about is we all have problems. The second thing I want you to think about is Jesus knows about those problems. If you go and you look at the verse again, it says in verse number 5, and a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there. I love that. And knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. So Jesus knew. One of the things I've been dealing with and working through is Jesus knows about our problems. I've been studying the life of Joseph a little bit, and God knew everything that was going on in Joseph's life. This evening, the message isn't going to be about Joseph, but there'll be an illustration that deals with Joseph. Joseph was, he was in the pit and Potiphar's house and prison and the palace. The Lord was with him through all of it. He knew everything. He did not remove Joseph from any of those things. He knew exactly what was happening. He had promised he'd be. And so I want you to understand something. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with today? He knows our problems today. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows the issue. You say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm struggling. I don't know why I'm suffering. I don't know why I don't want to be a witness. And I don't know why I feel like I don't speak to him and don't talk with him. He knows. He's the one that can make you whole if you will surrender to him. He's the one that can help you with the issues. No, he might not take you out of the pit. And yes, he might take you from the Potiphar's house to the prison. He might do things that we do not understand, but we got to believe and trust he can make us whole. He can take care of the issues. But standing there right in front of this man was the creator of the universe that could heal him in a second. He's like, I'm worried about nobody being willing to help me. I'm worried about the next moving of the water. Jesus is like, I can help you today. John chapter 2, the Bible says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that he should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. It is an amazing thing that God knows all about our issues. He knows all about our problems, and he is the one that knows how to fix them and willing to help us. But we run everywhere else. Jesus knows about those issues we're dealing with. Inside of a church like ours, we don't know all the issues. You do see the fruit of the issues. You do see the reactions. You do see the lack of power. You do see the lack of study. You see all types of things. You see how the responses are, but you don't know what goes on in the heart of man. You don't know what goes on in my heart and my life, just like I don't know what goes on yours. And as much as we want to help somebody else, and as much as many times I pray and I at times fast and I seek help for other individuals, I can't fix someone. But there is a God that can, and he's willing to help you. God knows about those problems. The third thing is, Jesus is able and willing to help. Jesus is able and willing to help. And I am not picking on the impotent man at all here. I probably would have responded the exact same way. I might have asked them, sir, would you stay here and help me when the water moves? Will you put me in the water before anybody else? I might have said something like that because I didn't realize who he was. And some people in this room today may not know who God is and may not have ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and never seen God made a difference in their life and never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And they need to get that straight. And Jesus is asking them, will thou be made whole today? Do you want to get this fixed? Do you want to get this dealt with? But to us that are believers that have seen God make a change and made us a new creature, he stands in front of us. He walks beside us. There is a calling that we would be with him. And he says, will thou be made whole? And we wait for something else. Jesus is able and willing to help. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He says, you might say, I don't believe that you can do it. That's a tough thing to say. He's God. He can do this. No matter what we have said that he is not able to, he is able to. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Ask the Lord. The Bible says that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not and shall be given him. So how can we receive help from Jesus? I think one of the first things, and underneath this there's a few thoughts, is get our eyes on him. Get our eyes on Jesus. Why would Jesus ask such a puzzling question? He's helping him remind this impotent man, you cannot fix yourself. When you have your eyes on the pool, when you have your eyes on others, when everybody else is the issue, everyone else is the problem, everybody else is the situation, we don't always remember that we cannot help ourselves because we have a hope. If maybe the preacher would just preach a little bit message, better message, or maybe if somebody would pray a little bit harder for me, or maybe if this person got right, or this person got corrected, or if this issue got taken care of, then I could be right. Get our eyes on Jesus. He wanted the man to realize he was helpless and hopeless without him. He wanted the man to take the eyes off the water and put them on Jesus. I cannot imagine what it was like for that man year after year to sit there and just keep his eyes on that pool, just waiting and being so hopeless and so helpless. And Jesus was reminding him, that is us. But we have someone who can empower us. We have someone who can help us. Next thing is have faith in what Jesus says. Believe in what the Bible says. Believe it when he tells us that we can reckon ourselves dead. Believe it when he tells us in Romans chapter 6, that wonderful passage of Scripture, it tells us that we do not have to be servants of sin, that we can have victory, that no longer are we in bondage. Instead, we can reckon ourselves dead and we can yield our body as members of instruments of righteousness, and we can say no to the devil. We can make the devil flee from us. Let's believe what the Bible says. When he's saying, you can be made whole today. Let's believe what it says. Are you willing to be made whole today? Continued obedience. Verse number 9, he says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. This man got the help because he did what Jesus said. He continued in obedience in verse number 11. He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. If we're going to remain right, we have to continue to do what's right. Stay away from sin. If you go to verse number 14, and afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What could be much worse than that? Some Bible commentators believe that he was probably in this sin issue because some type of sin had happened. That's when he's saying, lest a worse thing come unto thee, sin no more. If we truly want to receive the help that God offers is by listening to him, getting our eyes on him, continuing in obedience and staying away from the sin. If we really truly want God's power, we need to learn what sin is and stay away from it. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Last but not least is tell others about him. Look what it says in verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. If we want help from him, if we want to be right, we should tell others also. He gave the testimony of Jesus and made him whole. The Jews obviously hated it. The Jews sought to slay him because of it. The Jews looked past what their own rituals and their own things they had put such an importance to, that the maker of the world told him to take up thy bed and walk. The maker of the world had healed him. He didn't focus on the fact that Jesus had told him to carry his bed. He had focused on the fact that Jesus had changed his life and that Jesus was going to, that Jesus had made him whole. As we go across the room today, let's not just look at all those sitting around the pool, focusing on others or focusing on a mighty moving. Let's look at that one individual. Let's look at us today, personally. Is there something in our life that Jesus is saying, do you want to get this right? Do you want to be whole? For some, that might be salvation. See, Pastor, you mentioned that word salvation more than once. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've been saved from the penalty of our sins. We've been saved from the bondage of our sins. We've been saved from a horrible place called hell. That's salvation is the idea there, that God saw that we had a need, and Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind, and that if you believe and trust in him, you can be saved. And he's asking those that do not know him personally, will you be made whole today. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about if God is working in anybody else's heart. Answer that question for yourself. Do I know him today? Will I be made whole? Secondly, to the believers that are in the room, don't think that our issues and our problems are only ours. We all deal with things. We all have a flesh that we fight against. It's all how we look at it. It's all the perspective we have. If we keep our eyes focused on him, if we believe what the Bible says, if we continue to obey what the Bible says, he will help us. And he's coming to you today. I don't know how long you've struggled with it. I don't know how much of a problem it is in your life. But is he pinpointing something in your heart, pinpointing something in your life, asking you this question? Will thou be made whole? Is there something today that he wants you to get right? Let me encourage you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't wait for that complete next great mighty moving or that emotion. If he's speaking to your heart, what greater thing can happen in our life than the God of the universe speaking to us? He speaks to us personally. What else do we want? Let us get it right today. Will thou be made whole? Let's pray.